Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will spend some time reflecting on this week's FOMC meeting. We'll dive into the outcome, the press conference from Jerome Powell, as well as the market response. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back Senior Economist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Brian Rose. Brian is joining us for what will be our final Top of the Morning conversation for 2024. So with that, Brian, thank you for dropping by on this Friday morning. Nice to have you back and looking forward to hearing your insights.
Thanks, Dan. Good morning, everyone.
So with that, Brian, let's begin by examining the Fed statement as well as the press conference delivered by Chairman Jerome Powell. What did you take away from the Fed this week?
Well, first, let me remind everyone, in case you missed it, the Fed cut rates by 25 basis points. This week, that was in line with expectations, and it brings the total rate cuts since September to 100 basis points. The current Fed funds target range is 4.25% to 4.5%. And now, the FOMC statement was little changed from the last one, but they did insert a new phrase that was meant to signal to the market that the pace of rate cuts will slow from here. So after cutting rates 100 basis points in 4 months, they're going to slow from here. But what was really more significant was the updates to the Fed's economic projections, especially the dot plot, which is an indication of the future path of interest rates in the years ahead. And now, the last time we had those projections was in September. The actual outcome for both growth and inflation exceeded the Fed's previous projections. And because of that, everyone knew this, and because of it, there was a strong consensus that the dots would rise from the September levels. But in the end, those dots went up by more than expected. So going back to September, the median dot implied another 100 basis points in rate cuts over the course of 2025. But the new dots show only 50 basis points of cuts, and it really wasn't close. So the only 5 of the 19 dots show 75 basis points or more of cuts next year. So there's a strong consensus now on the Fed that they're not going to be cutting rates very much next year. And another thing that didn't get a lot of attention was that if you look at this year's dots, so what the dots that say what's the appropriate level of interest rates now, 4 of those dots called for no cuts at this meeting. So there was one formal dissenting vote, but the fact that you had 4 dots with no cuts suggests that there were 3 non-voters who thought that the Fed shouldn't cut rates this time. So I think that, there was a lot of pushback even against this rate cut, and the Fed is saying, we're not cutting rates so much, in the year ahead. And the overall impression was pretty hawkish. Now at the press conference, Fed Chair Powell was his usual optimistic self. But he did signal that the Fed would be more cautious in the future cuts. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is just that having cut 100 basis points and also the Fed's estimate of where the neutral rate lies has been rising. So the gap between the current rate policy and neutral isn't very big anymore. And so that requires a more cautious approach, especially given how strong economic growth has been, and also that the core inflation has actually risen in year-over-year terms. The last reading we got in October was 2.8. That's the highest since April. And so you have strong growth and higher inflation, and again, you're getting closer to neutral. So all of this leads to the Fed taking a more cautious approach, and really the whole thing confirmed my suspicions, which is that we need the data to soften in order for the Fed to start cutting rates again. So the Fed could be on hold for quite some time, you know, if we continue to get strong data.
Well, thank you, Brian, for that recap. So at this point, as we're now quickly heading into 2025, can you speak a bit to what exactly CIO's expectations are for further rate cuts in the year ahead?
Sure. So our view on the economy is actually very similar to the Fed's in terms of growth and inflation. So we decided to match the Fed and call for only 50 bips of cuts next year, down from 100 bips previously. Of course, everything depends on how the data actually comes in, but we think growth will hold up pretty well, and inflation, or especially core inflation, will be gradually slowing, you know, in the months ahead. And by the time of the June FOMC meeting, so, you know, 6 months from now, core inflation, I'm talking about core PCE inflation, it'll probably be below 2.5%. And, you know, that could be good enough for the Fed to start cutting rates again. So we've changed our view to the next rate cut being in June rather than in March. And we're looking for cuts in June and September, and that's it for next year. Assuming that inflation does continue to come down and gradually approach the Fed's 2% target, you know, there'll be more rate cuts later in 2026, but that's, you know, a long way away in this environment. And so again, you know, our base case is now June and September, and of course this could very easily change depending on how the data evolves.
Looking at the U.S. economy, how would you characterize current health, overall condition?
So conditions are actually really good. You know, the unemployment rate is at 4.2%, which is low from historic perspective. And even in the inflation data, you know, isn't that bad. You see broad-based disinflation, and it's really only shelter that's keeping overall inflation at a level that's uncomfortable for the Fed. This week, we had third quarter GDP revised up to 3.1%. The fourth quarter is looking good. You know, we've had strong consumer spending so far in the holiday season. You know, so things are really good, but, you know, we do see risks ahead, especially from the political situation. So you may have seen the turmoil overnight. Congress has not passed any kind of budget, and government funding runs out at midnight tonight. So we're looking at the possibility of a government shutdown starting tomorrow with no clear path on, you know, how we're going to get out of that shutdown. And this is even before the start of the Trump administration. We're having this kind of turmoil. So I'd say, you know, things are good in the economy now. If we could keep overall, you know, fiscal policy on an even keel, things would be good next year. But there are risks, and we're just going to have to see how this political situation evolves. It's the thing that I'm most worried about is, you know, some kind of shock to the economy coming from the political system.
Well, Brian, thank you for dropping by for these timely insights. Do appreciate your contributions and participation throughout the course of 2024, and do look forward to continuing with our conversation in the year ahead.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brian. Again, today we have been joined by Senior Economist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Brian Rose. And to all of our listeners, thank you for your support and engagement throughout the course of 2024. And we look forward to continuing the conversation with you in 2025. From all of us here at UBS Studios, we wish you a happy and healthy holiday season and new year. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.